What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dark Trio, this is Charles from D.C. First of all, welcome back. I want to find out if each of you could have one film restored and published by Vinegar Syndrome, which film would it be and why? Thanks a lot, and keep it spoopy.
Thanks, Charles. I'm going to defer to all things Vinegar Syndrome on this podcast. And Megan, how will you start things out?
I think that what I would really love for Vinegar Syndrome to put out is Wild Zero. I think that got a tiny little DVD release probably around 2001 or something, and it just fell into obscurity, and I think it's the perfect fit for Vinegar Syndrome. It's Guitar Wolf, an actual Japanese garage band, in a zombie apocalypse movie, and it's very, very funny. Oh, no. It's great. So I feel like more people should have access to that movie.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it. So yes, they should do that.
I think you talked about it once, right?
I'm pretty sure I have.
Yeah. Okay.
How about you, Xena?
Okay, so two came to mind, but one I know is already released on Blu-ray, but for some reason I could never find it, and that's Dream Home from 2010.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like that would be like a great fit. And then the other one, which is a coincidence, I swear, the anthology horror Campfire Tales.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find that one. And if you do find like the DVD for some reason, it's like the last time I checked, it was like $80. So it's just like, I don't
out
know what's
print like prices that are stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been waiting for them to release that.
I mean, I might be totally getting the question wrong anyway, but I could only have one thing pop up in my head, and it was more like the concept of restored. I want to see Event Horizon restored. Ooh. Like, actually, like, spend some time to update the CGI. Mm-hmm. And like some of the places where you're watching it, where like when they first get to the ship and stuff's floating around and it looks like a video game from 1997, and you're like, this could be better. I would appreciate that.
I don't know what you would call that, though, because not really like a remaster for a physical release, because Scream Factory is already doing that, or unless it's already released, and I cannot keep track of dates, which is also feasible.
Oh.
But like, you're talking about overhauling special effects. That's like theatrical re-release type thing.
Am I asking too much? My wife
Possibly.
Has told me that I have done that in the past. Then, you know what? I misunderstood the assignment. And
I mean, we can ask. You just, have ambition.
I'll ask around. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
Our second question comes in via email. What are some scrapped movies or sequels that you would love to see revived? Thank you for the weekly dose of humor goodness you provide, David. Well, thank you so much, David. Zena, let's start out with you.
Sure. So three, I mean, I could give you more, but I'll just give you three. So first up, I'm going to go with Spell from 2020. I heard that there was supposed to be a sequel, and it's just like, whoa, like I was excited about it, but it was canceled because of budget issues, sadly. And then I'm also going to go with House of Wax. It was supposed to be a sequel to the 2005 version, and it was supposed to come out in 2007. I don't know why it was canceled, but it was, and it's help. And then just because, you know, childhood Xena is screaming right now, Casper, 1995 Casper, was supposed to be a sequel, and everyone, they wanted everyone to come back, but Christina Ricci, she didn't want to do it.
Hmm. Yeah. They should really do a prequel where we see Casper die. Because, you know, he's a kid who died, so... But make it rated R, you know?
But make it R.
I would love to see that, but yeah.
Maybe I'm going too far. Maybe I'm asking too much again. I don't know. How about you, Megan?
So I feel like they tried multiple times, and there's even like a comic book for this, but Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
I was totally thinking that. Yeah.
I feel like that deserved a sequel and set up a sequel. Why didn't it? I know they tried multiple times, so that's really on us for crowdfunding not making its goals. And then another one that I at this point don't think that we'll ever see, but Fede Alvarez's 2013 Evil Dead with Mia returning. I would have loved to see that continuation. I don't think we will, but you never know.
Yeah.
And I don't know about scrapped because I don't stay up to date on what things were actually maybe going to be sequels and what they weren't. So I was kind of thinking like Megan, where Leslie Vernon, trying to think like the endings of movies where I'm like, okay, were you setting up a sequel or potential sequel? These two don't really fall into that necessarily. And this might be biased because I just bought the movie, RIP Video Universe in Minnesota, who closed their doors as one of the holdout rental places, but I was able to pick up some movies, one of them being Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight. I mean, I know it's Tales from the Crypt, and I know that they did other ones. They did Bordello Blood, and they did Ritual, for anyone who actually watched Ritual.
Cena did.
Ritual, okay? No,
good.
It's pretty problematic, though. I'm not going to lie.
But Demon Knight, it felt like, and I know it would probably be against the grain for Tales from the Crypt to have a sequelized story like that, but I think that would have been great. It was setting it up really well to be a continuation. And then the other one that I was thinking of was, I forgot what I was going to say.
It was a movie.
It was a movie. I know for sure. It was a movie. It was a scary movie.
Oh, well, we're on the right track.
I know. Oh, son of a bitch. Oh, Brightburn.
Ah.
I actually thought Brightburn would be a really cool one for those. So for those of you who, you know, you haven't seen Brightburn, I mean, no spoilers. It's basically about what if Superman came to Earth and he was evil, or became evil or whatever, used his powers and the powers like corrupted him. So you can see where the movie's going. If you haven't seen it, sorry, I think it's available on Tubi. Go. But for those of you who do have like some familiarity with comics, especially like DC Comics and the Injustice storyline with Superman, I just feel like Brightburn would lead really easily into that concept of, all right, and now he's going to grow up, and what sort of a world are we living in that's basically ruled by a nigh omniscient man from space? And that would be pretty terrifying. And you could even play it like just from the side of the rebellion. Like, it's not even focused on him. You could play it like Terminator style or whatever, or even more like Oat Films was doing. I'm just going to keep rambling otherwise, because I feel like there's another one. I just can't remember it. So welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world and help us discuss the disgusting. You know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
And I'm John. We're back. Yay.
Yay.
If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to cook around the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe it'll be things that'll make you smile too. So I didn't watch nearly as much stuff as I thought I was going to watch in the last week. I kind of just got two things in, which is a massive failure on my behalf because Paramount combined with Showtime. And now I've got so many more movies available to me. I have Pearl waiting for me.
Yay.
I have Men waiting for me, which out of context sounds super weird. But there's a lot of stuff. Or Yellow Jackets. I finally get to start binging Yellow Jackets.
Awesome.
So much stuff. Can't wait. But instead, what I watched was 1981's The Prowler on Tubi. An unknown killer clad in World War II U.S. Army fatigue stalks a small California town, bent on reliving a 35-year-old double murder by focusing on a group of college kids holding an annual graduation dance. I have no idea where this falls in the timeline of My Bloody Valentine. If My Bloody Valentine was before The Prowler or after.
Same year.
Was it? Oh, this is totally one of those situations. This is like Armageddon and Deep Impact then. Somebody had an idea. Somebody else heard the idea. It's basically that. Some murders happened. Then they didn't have a celebration for a long time. So they had the celebration again and murders start happening. That's basically it. It's pretty cookie cutter if you've seen My Bloody Valentine or My Bloody Valentine 3D. It's very similar to that sort of a concept. 1980s slashers. You know what? I was thinking so much about this one because a lot of my Tubi watch list is 80s, like late 70s and to like mid 80s slasher movies. Mm-hmm. And Halloween serves as like this like tent pole for horror. Like all of a sudden it made mainstream, like Halloween, and people got so excited. Okay, let's make horror movies. Let's make money on horror movies. And that's historically like how Friday the 13th came about. But there are so many horror movies that were coming out around that time anyway that weren't even necessarily, and I know The Prowler is after, but it's strange to me, like, what was it that made Halloween stick when there was so much out there? Was it just the studio had the right backing, the right push? Was it John Carpenter just having the right angle so it wasn't just over the top slasher gore? Was it the music? Was it Donald Pleasance? I don't know. Like, it makes me wonder, what is it that makes one horror movie stand out for popular culture consumption more than another? So I don't know. Think about that, listeners. I don't have an answer. That's just where my head was at. And then I watched all of Black Mirror season 6, which is available on Netflix.
Nice.
I have no description for this. It's Black Mirror. If you're listening to this, you probably know what Black Mirror is. It's basically an updated version of The Outer Limits or The Twilight Zone. Generally, it's historically, I think the seasons have largely had some aspect of dystopian future technology associated with them somehow. Some of them a lot more than others. This is not. This is the past. And I had a hard time kind of grasping what was happening sometimes because I didn't realize that was going to, I went in blind. So I don't know if any of like the stuff that was coming out about it was like, all right, we're going to do like pre-80s stuff. But that's what it was. So like everything is kind of set a while ago for one reason or another. Not necessarily pivotal to the story itself. I think just telling a story that isn't happening in the future or the present for that matter. Some of it is far more horror related than others. I'll definitely say if you haven't watched it, I highly go recommend it. Some of it is very specifically, well, yeah, this is horror. There's very horror for one reason, one specific reason, but it was just a good time. They're just kind of fun stories. Not scary. Not nearly as unsettling as past seasons of Black Mirror have been. Because there've been some Black Mirrors where I've watched it like, oh, this is. And maybe it's the concept of, yeah, that future could happen. I don't feel good about this. Like watching American Horror Story's cult season, like I couldn't watch it. Like, I was like, I don't like how closely they're trying to mirror the unrest. And, yeah, I'm like, we're going through enough right now. I don't need to watch it, too. So maybe that was part of it, and it was just kind of nice to watch. Oh, okay, it's in the past. We're fine. Like, we're good. We'll just have some fun. But, yeah, I thought it was a great season. It's only 5 episodes. The episodes range from 40 minutes to almost an hour and a half. But they're good. They got some good star power going on. And, yeah, a lot of fun. Good job, Black Mirror.
But we, good job, guys. Yeah. You did it.
Did you have a favorite episode?
I think the one starring Josh Hartnett. And I can't remember his name, but he plays Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Whatever that.
I don't remember name his is. Name, but yeah.
I apologize. I never really got into Breaking Bad, Aaron so I apologize. Paul? Yes, Aaron Paul. It's at least Aaron. I think it's Aaron Paul. Not related to Logan, hopefully. But maybe, and I apologize if you are. I don't know.
But sorry to you.
Yeah, don't come after me, Logan Paul. Fans, I can't handle that. But yeah, I think the one with Josh Hartnett, mostly because I really like Josh Hartnett as an actor. Mm-hmm. I think he's great, and I think he pulled away from Hollywood for his own reasons, and good for him. But I've really enjoyed the stuff he's in. He's such just a smooth, like just a very just natural actor. It's really enjoyable to watch him. So, and Aaron Paul is actually really good in it for multiple reasons, too. Like he kind of pulls double duty. You'll see if you watch it, but yeah. No, totally recommend. Go check it out. But anywho, how about you, Megan? Back from the... Can we say where you were?
No.
Ooh.
But I did mean to go to Chattanooga Film Fest, and last minute it got derailed for another thing that came up. But luckily, as bummed as I was to miss the in-person, it would have been my first time in person, they do have a really stellar virtual platform for virtual offerings, so I did get to catch up before it ended on the 29th, I believe. So they have they're a little bit of a mix. So Chattanooga Film Festival specializes in genre, but they're not exclusively genre. So they had some heartwarming like dramas and comedies and stuff. But they also had, as part of their virtual lineup, Red Eye screenings. And these Red Eye screenings were secret screenings, and they had like 8 nights filled. And they were all deep cuts. And so the movies I watched was super nice to be able to revisit movies, one of which Nazita talked about earlier. But I watched Necronomicon, Book of the Dead. That was one of the nights of the Red Eye screenings at Chattanooga Film Fest. This is an anthology that has also been really hard to find because it's trapped on VHS and not really readily available on streaming. So this was like a rare treat. This was directed by a few people since it's an anthology. It's a Brian Yuzna movie. Christoph Gans directed a segment. Wow. And it's basically has Jeffrey Combs, who looks like Bruce Campbell. If you look up images of this movie, the prosthetic chin, because he plays H.P. Lovecraft. And H.P. Lovecraft is going into a library and he's busting in to try and kind of study the Necronomicon and get story inspiration there. But he's got prosthetic chins, so he looks like Bruce Campbell. Anyways, I absolutely love this movie. I have it on VHS, but I was not going to miss a chance to, you know, revisit it, like any excuse to revisit. It's Lovecraft by way of Brian Yuzna, which means that there's slime, there's goop, there's creatures. You got different stories. There's 3 of them. Like a reporter confronts a mad doctor's clan. It's not really a clan. A policewoman finds an evil cave system with stuff underneath. It's got some really fun stories. So if you like goopy Lovecraftian creatures and you love Brian Yuzna, that's definitely worth a watch. When will you be able to see it? I don't know. Chattanooga Film Festival had a rare kind of screening for this, but I imagine at some point somebody's going to have to put this back out on Blu-ray. So yeah, I watched that. And then the one that Zena mentioned at the top, they played Campfire Tales, 1997's Campfire Tales. So they did do a lot of deep cut anthologies in the Red Eye screenings. This one sees a car accident that leaves these teens stranded on the side of the road at night, and to pass the time waiting for help, they trade scary stories. And these scary stories are very urban legend inspired, you know, like the hook in the car, the green ribbon around the neck, which I adore. I've loved this anthology, and I feel like, I don't know why, is it, I guess it was more like a made for cable concept, and that's why maybe it flew under the radar. It is kind of a rare gem now. It definitely reads very don't drink and drive PSA. Yeah, right. If you watch it, I think you know. But yeah, I think Xena knows. Like, this is just a, it's a really good time. This is Urban Legend a year before Urban Legend came out, basically. So yeah, that's what I watched.
Yeah. Nice. How about you, Xena?
So I checked out Silent Rage from 1982 on Tubi. This one is about a sheriff who tries to stop this killer, who he's a silent killer who's on this murdering spree, and it's also the result of a secret experiment. So now it's like he has like the ability to heal. So yeah, first off, just, you know, huge shout out to my horror soulmate and buddy, Jason Steele. He brought this movie into my life. It's so crazy because I would always see the poster on Tubi, but I never checked it out. And then also, on our Instagram, Houdini with 2 0s, they said that they watched this movie and they absolutely loved it. So I just commented saying, hey, I'm going to talk about it this week. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. There's this really unstable man who is in a small town in Texas. And yeah, he just goes on this killing rampage, you know, from the start when the movie opens up. And obviously it's not a spoiler because it's in the synopsis. He ends up getting killed, the murderer, and then these doctors, they use this experimental serum to bring him back to life, and then he has like this superhuman strength. And so now the sheriff, who is Chuck Norris, he has to stop him. This movie is incredible. I mean, it's an 80s slasher, but it has like a lot of action. There's blood. Again, even with the killer, I will say this. The killer is genuinely creepy. Like, he doesn't say anything. And like, just the way he looks, like, he's just like, whoa. So, but yeah, guys, Chuck Norris, he is the sheriff, okay? And he is up against a superhuman killer. And spoiler, he kind of wins. How? I don't know. Chuck Norris is a man. So
Chuck
now I get like
Norris. That's why.
Yeah, now I get the memes, you know? So, but yeah, so this superhuman killer, he's kind of like Michael Myers, kind of like Jason Voorhees, kind of like the Terminator, you know what I mean? So it's just really cool to see. And yeah, there's a lot of like, there's some, like I said, there's some action. There's a lot of roundhouse kicks that's in here. It's insanity. And I loved like every single minute of it. And I probably should have said this one as well. But yeah, this one totally should have had like a sequel because it was, I really enjoyed it. And then even like the ending, how it just kind of left us hanging. But yeah, there's some cheese to it. I'm not going to lie because, you know, it's the 80s, but it's a good time.
We do like 80s cheese. What would 80s cheese be?
Right?
80s cheese? Just Velveeta?
Yeah, what flavor would that be? Monterey? Cheese was in a can?
Yeah.
Velveeta.
Oh, spray cheese.
Was in a
yeah.
Can. Yeah.
Totally. Also, a little life hack for everyone out there. Get yourself some cheese in a can and Bugles and make yourself little snow cones out of the cheese, and it is the best thing ever.
Whoa! doing it.
of all the food hacks and everything else on social media, we've been doing that since I was like 5 years old. I've never seen anyone do it, and it is so wonderful.
Yeah, I never evolved past putting it on my fingertips like I'm a witch. Oh.
No, Bugles, wow. Make little ice cream cones. You are good to go.
Okay, well, I'm writing it down right now.
There you go.
I'm serious. You know, I have to go to the grocery store. I'm not going to go. I'm going to order it. It's hot outside. But okay, the next thing I checked out, Jagged Mind from 2023 on Hulu. So this woman is plagued by blackouts, strange visions, and then she discovers that she's stuck in a series of loops and possibly related to her new mysterious girlfriend. So yeah, there's this woman named Billy. I think that's such a cool name. She keeps on reliving like the same versions of the same date, you know, and she must find a way to break loose. So yeah, you guys heard the line, hurt people, right? And I feel like, honestly, this is what that movie is straight up about. Like, I really, really like this one. I will say this. I know there's a lot of people that couldn't vibe with this one. I can see why, because it is repetitive. So it is kind of like the horror thriller version of Groundhog's Day to me, except it's like supernatural and then there's voodoo in it. And you guys know voodoo is my jam. So I have to be a part of it. Well, anyway, if you're someone who loves supernatural horror that has like voodoo elements and stuff like that, I feel like you'll enjoy this one. But just know that there's a lot of unresolved like trauma, there's gaslighting, there's deception, just a lot of toxic behavior. So just want to warn people that beforehand. But again, I just feel like I really like this one. It worked for me, but I can totally understand with some people, like, they're like, I don't know if they're saying ah, but they don't, you know, they can't buy. Ah, no, but yeah. But yeah, I just thought that it was kind of terrifying. Like, imagine not being able to remember, you know, certain things, and then it just keeps happening, and then everybody around you, they're not affected by it, and you just have these fragments of memories and deja vu. Like, that's spooky stuff. So yeah, that's what I checked out.
All right, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it? I watched The Prowler on Tubi from 1981 and season 6 of The Black Mirror on Netflix.
I watched Necronomicon Book of the Dead and Campfire Tales, both at the Chattanooga Film Festival online. Hopefully that means it's going to get picked up for a boutique label release in the near future. Yeah, I really want them both. So yeah.
I checked out Silent Rage on Tubi and Jagged Mind on Hulu.
Nice. And I don't need homework because I've got lots of options that I hope I'll get to instead of just watching, you know, Grave Encounters again. But I'll probably watch Grave Encounters again, too.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
I'm going to say that maybe we should add more to your list, John, for things for you to watch. From sure. Stephen King himself. He said, if you're a horror fan and not watching From, you should get with it. Scary shit.
Yeah.
Stephen King, yeah, he tweeted that recently, heaping high praise on horror series. That is, I feel like it's really starting to find its audience in the second season. I feel like season one, I was on an island and now more people are watching, which I'm glad because, you know, good news. It's officially getting a season 3.
Yeah.
So if you are still late to this train, there's still time to catch up and hop on. MGM Plus, a premium linear channel and streaming service, announced last week that contemporary sci-fi horror series From has been renewed for a 10-episode third season. The first two seasons of From captivated critics and terrified and engaged fans who have formed a thriving online community trying to put the pieces together week by week as secrets of the nightmarish town and possibly beyond are slowly revealed. Michael Wright said, he's head of MGM Plus, we can't wait for fans to see the surprises ahead in season 3, which promises more scares and mysteries, but also more answers. Which is great news, because season 2 just concluded with a massive jaw-dropping cliffhanger. Obviously not going to spoil it for you. But this is from the creators, at least one of them who was involved in Lost. So it has that same kind of mystery box, but it's very horror. It's like, what if a really kind of bloody horror fairy tale was Lost? That's what's in the woods. So yeah, highly recommend. It is fun. Harold Perrineau is amazing. And really the whole cast is. And then switching gears, because it's coming out next week, brand new international spin-off movie set in the world of 2018 hit Bird Box, titled Bird Box Barcelona, will premiere July 14th, and Netflix dropped a official trailer last week for it. This first spin-off movie will be a Spanish language thriller set in Barcelona. The occupant and the head filmmakers Alex and David Pastor wrote and directed the film. In the spin-off, after a mysterious force decimates the world's population by causing all who see it to take their lives, Sebastian and his young daughter Anna must navigate their own journey of survival through the desolate streets of Barcelona. But as they form an uneasy alliance with other survivors and make their way towards a safe haven, a threat more sinister than the unseen creatures grows. So the new trailer, which is there if you want to or don't want to take a look, there's a little bit of a evolution to the horror teased in there that kind of sets up that this won't just be an exact duplicate of Bird Box, just in a different city. So it's a side goal that may have more to it than meets the eye, in which case, great, because I like when it's not just a complete retelling. So yeah. Are you excited for it at all?
I am. So I recently watched Bird Box because, you know, when it first came out, the first one, I didn't like watch it for some reason. So I'm just excited to see what they're going to do. Like, I heard that it's not going to be what you think. So that's cool.
Good. Yeah.
I'll wait to see what you two say. Again, first one bothered me a lot. Not because of what it was, not because it was shot or the story. My daddy heart hurt a lot. So yeah, we'll see, but I'm not necessarily going to throw that on the list right away.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Well, this one should help your daddy heart, I feel. Maybe it'll at least help you bond, get your daughter into some horror some more. I don't know, maybe I'm just saying that because I'm super excited for this movie. Disney's Haunted Mansion opens up for business this summer, and new character posters released last week gives a closer look at some of the denizens and ghosts haunting the film based on the Dark Ride attraction. That includes the Hatbox Ghost, which was part of the original Haunted Mansion attraction in 69, but was removed because of an alleged issue with his effect, which would see his head vanish and then appear inside of a box. So that never really made it into the ride, and now he's going to be in the movie, which is exciting. I think he's in the ride now, but back then he wasn't. But Disney's new live-action Haunted Mansion movie will be releasing in theaters on July 28th, and it's been rated PG-13 for thematic elements and scary action. This is directed by Justin Simien, who did Bad Hair. And in this mysterious adventure, a doctor, played by Rosario Dawson, and her 9-year-old son are looking to start a new life, move into a strangely affordable mansion in New Orleans, only to discover that the place is much more than they bargained for. Because when is it? When is it? Desperate for help, they contact a priest, played by Owen Wilson, who in turn enlists the aid of a widowed scientist turned failed paranormal expert, Lakeith Stanfield, a French Quarter psychic, Tiffany Haddish, and a crotchety historian, Danny DeVito. So it looks like a lot of whimsical fun. It's got a great cast. I particularly have a soft spot for the Haunted Mansion ride, so it's like, I don't know, it seems like a really good summer gateway horror movie. Is it just me? Is your daughter excited at all about it?
So a little, so part of where we were gone, my family and I took just a short trip over the weekend, and one of the days was really rainy where we were. So me and my son went to see The Flash in an Omni Theater presentation where there were hundreds of seats. We were the only two people in the theater. It was amazing. I've never been in a theater. I don't think I've ever been to a movie where I was the only one in the theater.
Let alone
a theater that big where my son could literally just randomly choose different seats through the movie. It's a long movie too. But my wife took my daughter to see The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
And The Haunted Mansion was a preview beforehand. And she said she's interested in seeing it. She wants to see it. But the funnier part about that is the blowback from the trailer that I've had to hear about. So I don't know if y'all are familiar with Facebook mom groups. Like, I am familiar with Facebook mom groups.
I am not. I'm sorry. No.
not because I'm a part of them. My wife's a part of them, and they're fairly hilarious for a lot of reasons that I won't get into. But one of them was a woman who was outraged that there wasn't a warning before going in to see The Little Mermaid about the Haunted Mansion trailer.
Oh, girl. Oh,
now, we're talking about just a regular trailer that you can see on YouTube.
It's probably like a green band trailer, too.
Yes, it was absolutely. And talking about how her, I think, 8 or 9 or 10-year-old, I can't remember, old enough, was so terrified of the trailer that they couldn't stay in the theater. They had to leave, and they missed Little Mermaid. Now,
I'm sorry.
Exactly. No. Xena, your reaction is the correct reaction. And I believe it was the same reaction I had after a long pause of silence trying to process the information that my wife was relaying to me, where it's like, I don't know what's wrong with people. Is everyone just mad at everything for something at all times?
Yeah.
Like, I have no connection to the Haunted Mansion. I've never been to Disneyland or Disney World, but I love the lineup. I love Lakeith Stanfield. Like, anything I've seen him in has been fantastic. Yeah. Danny DeVito, Tiffany Haddish, Rosario Dawson, all of them. I'll watch it, but I have no connection to it whatsoever. Frankly, I just want to watch it to be like, what were you scared of? I know I'm an adult saying that, but it's like, come on, parents. It's the Haunted Mansion. It's kids. It's animated. Yeah. I think even my daughter was like, yeah, there was a couple of things in the trailer that kind of were like ghost jumping up, but I wasn't scared. Ursula is a scarier thing to me than anything a Haunted Mansion trailer can put forth. Right. I don't know.
I won't get into detail about, you know, certain moms, but I think that kind of like what Megan was saying, or we always talk about this all the time about how this, I feel like, could be like a really great gateway horror. I know for me personally, I'm excited about it. I like the one from 2003. I think that it's cute. You know, I thought it was cute. It's really cute. Funny, you know? So even with this one, it's just giving me that vibe that it's going to be more fun than anything. And plus, knowing that it's in New Orleans, of course, there's going to be some like spooky stuff going on, but all good hearted, you know?
Yeah. That's where the Disneyland ride is set. It's in New Orleans Square and it looks like a New Orleans house. So it's all in line with the ride.
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, I don't know.
Crazy world we live in.
Yeah, people are mad at stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it's okay. But you got to post that in a Facebook group. Like, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Moving on. This is a weird episode. We're trying to find our groove again, folks. It's okay. We'll find it. All right, listeners, your turn. Are you on the From train? Are mom Facebook groups scarier than anything on the big screen?
Yes.
Also, the movie I couldn't remember from David's question earlier was The Autopsy of Jane Doe. I love that movie. I could use more. Anyway, you can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier, and the Sea of Horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
Well, it's kind of a quiet week, kind of, you know, for us, but we still have some horror stuff for you. So first up on Tuesday the 4th, happy 4th of July, if you celebrate it. Because I remember one time I said that to someone and they just, I don't celebrate. Okay. Anyway.
From Canada.
Yeah. And it's just, well, I'm sorry. Have a nice day. Okay. So anyway. But yeah.
Enjoy your day off. I don't know.
Yeah, like by the time this episode comes out, this will already be out. So Bad Girl Boogie will be available on VOD. So a wearer of a mysterious mask with black magic sheds blood on Halloween. 16 years later, a killer with the same profile slaughters Angel's friend, who then must fight fear, overcome personal struggles, and unmask the murderer before someone else dies. This one looks like it's really cute. Well, I don't want to say cute, but also, it's going to be really cool because this is the same director who directed So Vamp, and which I like that one. I thought that was like a lot of fun. So on Friday the 7th, we have Insidious The Red Door. It will be hitting theaters. Josh Lambert heads east to drop his son Dalton off at school. Guys, Dalton's in college. Isn't that crazy?
Where does time go?
I know. Oh, anyway, as soon as he gets to college, some crazy living nightmares start to pop up. There's demons coming back for him. Like, it's, oh my God, I'm so ready for it. What is behind that red door, you know? And then also the psychological horror Tearsucker. This will be available on VOD. Emotionally vulnerable women are preyed on by a charming psychopath who wants to suck on their tears. Wow. That sounds so That sounds so gross. Can you imagine? Ew. Okay.
Speaking of who hurt you, Jesus.
I don't, yeah. Anyway, then we have We Might Hurt Each Other. This will be available on Screenbox. After classmates destroy life-size wooden folk art statues during a wild high school party graduation at a remote cottage, a mysterious killer starts picking them off one by one. Ooh. And then here are some movies you can own either like a own on DVD or Blu-ray or both. So Scream 6. Jesus.
I know.
Oh my God, what year is it? What is happening?
Just get both. Just cover your bases.
He'll be available on DVD. Bo is Afraid, available on DVD. The Gates, The Black Demon, Subspecies 5, Blood Rise, and Day Zero. And then also, just in case, as always, Screenbox is available for you, as well as Bloody Disgusting TV.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com or on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly Horror Narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting, where we may be now. I don't know.
We okay. I don't know what that was. So I wanted to say yeah, but then we can't. Okay, we. I need to get it back in.
We'll find it.
It's okay. We'll get there. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody or cheesy with bugles.
Ice cream cheese.
Yay.